Maybe Curtis Conway. Are you a guy that likes to barbecue a little bit?
Absolutely.
Do you have a smoker?
I don't have a smoker.
You need to get one.
I'm kind of old school, you know. Throw it on the grill.
I am too, but I mean, this is good for the longer cooking. Slow and low is the way to go.
Yeah, that's
slow
it.
Slow and low.
Well, I'm not the cook. You know, unfortunately, I like to grill. My wife is a real cook, so as much as I want to cook, she kind of kicks me out of that area.
For those who don't know, his wife happens to be not only a good cook, but a pretty notable person too, Layla Ali. So does she let you do anything?
Not in the kitchen.
Really?
No, I'm
just dead on the back porch.
I got to tell you a funny story. Now, I can cook. I can cook some things pretty good.
Yeah.
And she was going out of town one day, and I told her, look, babe, I know you got a pack. Don't worry about anything. And it was around the time she normally cooks. So, the kids are running around. They're hungry. I'm like, okay, I got this. So I'm downstairs cooking. She's upstairs packing. All of a sudden, she comes downstairs, and then she had to get something. She sees me cooking in this, like, within, like, 5 minutes. Stayed there, and I'm like, aren't you supposed to be packing? She was like, yeah, but she's steady looking. Made me get out of the kitchen so she could finish cooking, and I'm like, babe, I got this. She said, yeah, I know you can cook, but I can cook it better. And I'm just like, just totally put my cooking down, you know what I mean? Like, you don't do that.
That's an insult to your
manhood. That's an insult to my manhood, my cooking skills.
She didn't send you up to finish packing, did she?
No.
Okay, good.
No, because trust me, I would have went and dumped everything out of her suitcase for that comment.
You got to have some support there. And, you know, when you're trying to build your cooking confidence, man, you got to have some go-tos. I tried to learn how to bake this year.
Uh-huh.
I tried to make my kids some healthy muffins. Like, four different times it failed epically, and then one time they looked good, but they tasted really bad.
Right.
Man, you can't get – I wonder if it's the altitude or something in Salt Lake, but it's a skill. It's like a real art form, cooking.
Well, I will tell you this. To win the kids over for your cooking, you have to make it sweet. It has to be almost, you know, a lot of sugar, something that they're going to like. Then they'll say, no, Mommy, I don't want him. I don't want you to cook. I want Daddy to cook. So I've learned that lesson.
You can always win over their hearts with a donut, too.
I've
always learned that.
By the way, I found something out. Curtis was on with me last week. You know who was his principal in high school? Dolce's dad.
Oh, that's right.
But he was Mr. Dolce.
Yeah. That's right.
Dolce when he's at Hawthorne High School. Yeah. But if you go with the Italian pronunciation, it's Dolce. So,
Dolce.
So you and Frank told Mr. Dolce that you said hi.
Yeah,
too.
That's my. He was like, you know how you got that cool teacher, like everybody wants to have them. He was that guy. I mean, not just me. Like everyone.
Everybody loved him, right?
Everybody loved him.
Is this back in the day when – would the NFL still do this? Would they call your high school principal to try to get some insight on you? I mean, I had some buddies who said that their elementary school teachers were getting contacted by the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Well, they do their research. That's for sure. You know, working – doing the draft, and you find out a lot of information. And they have to. You know, you think about some of the things that guys go through growing up, you know, and they're making an investment in you. I mean, it's a business. So, you know, you want to draft a guy in the first round and, you know, he's a great football player. You kind of want to know what you're getting yourself into. So, yeah, they definitely do do their background check.
Pac-12 analyst and former SC and Chicago Bear wide receiver Curtis Conway with us here on ESPN 700. As we wind down Pac-12 media days, Curtis has a short drive home. You and I hop on an airplane. You've been around here for a couple of days. We talked last week. Did you learn anything? Anything kind of pop? Did you grab any nuggets while you've been here? Anything that you didn't know before that you learned over the last couple of days?
Well, you know, Rich Rod made a comment about having 50 new faces. And, you know, when you look at what they did last year, you're thinking, okay, this is a team that should bring back a lot of players. And, you know, in college football, you lose a lot. You may go through a little dip. I was actually thinking that this would be a time where he's going to have some veteran guys come back and he can kind of get back on track. Of course, he had a lot of injuries. But to have that many new faces in your offense, you talk about not being able to go and just let it go. And when you look at the depth of some of these teams coming back, like especially on the offensive side of the ball, UCLA just about has their whole offense coming back. Colorado, and we're just talking the South, has their whole offense coming back. And then you hear a comment like that, you're like, whoa, like it's going to be pretty tough. So, you know, to be in that situation kind of caught me off guard.
Arizona's schedule is not going to be that forgiving. I mean, Houston's not going to lay down for them. Arizona could struggle this year. But, you know, what does it take for a football team to start 5-1 and then lose their final six, which is what happened to Arizona State last year, including the regular season finale against that two-win Arizona team. I mean, how can you quantify Arizona State's team a year ago any other way than saying that they quit on themselves?
Well, you got to, number one, look at the quarterback situation and how many guys actually got behind center. Let's start there. You know, you hate to use injuries as an excuse. I don't use – I say reason, because sometimes people say excuse and that's a way of kind of, you know, poking at someone. But the real situation is, what's the reason? And that's legit. I mean, the quarterback situation was never in play. And they, you know, they got going, and you had Manning. You could see, okay, maybe he's getting a little better, and all of a sudden these guys are getting hurt. And here's the thing about playing quarterback is, when you're playing quarterback and you get a backup guy coming in, you don't know how much he knows. So sometimes an offensive coordinator is forced to put a guy in there who probably doesn't know the playbook well enough where he can put together a real game plan to go in and attack a team. So you got to kind of condense your playbook to who was ever out there. So, and then you got to take in the fact that, who did they play early? You know, you start playing some cupcakes early, and all of a sudden you start playing the Washingtons and the USCs and some of these really good schools, and you get exposed. That's why I've always said that you're always going to be judged on your competition. So no matter what you do, if you go 6-0, who did you go 6-0 against? And that's what you're going to be measured against.
Curtis Conway with us. The head coach of your alma mater was sitting there about an hour ago, Clay Helton. We're talking to Clay, and clearly SC is very, very good. But he did say the one area that he's not very sure about is his wide receivers. And that's unusual at SC. They've had that Sarah High School pipeline for a number of years. They brought guys in from all over the country. But he said, hey, we lost Juju Smith-Schuster. We lost Darius Rogers, the guys that backed them up. He says, we've got, I think, some talented guys. So that's a little bit of, at least in recent years, some uncharted territory. Mm-hmm. Who are you looking at to be the guys that step up, or who could be the guys at SC for Sam Darnold?
Well, the first guy you think about is Deontay Barnett. You know, he stepped up big in the slot for him. And one thing I will say about the passing game is that if you got a guy that can play inside, you give yourself a chance. Because, I mean, and I'm going to the NFL, when you look at the Patriots, they play inside out. You never really know who's their wide receivers. Every year they need a new wide receiver. Well, if you watch the way they play football, they play from the inside out, which means these guys are going against linebackers and safeties, probably two of your worst positions to cover, you know, skilled wide receivers. So let's start there. I think he can definitely – that's a go-to for him. Outside, you're going to have some new faces. Tyler Vaughn, you know, Pittman. Guys like that. You got Jalen Green coming back, a guy who hadn't caught a lot of balls, you know, quarterback, yeah, played a little receiver. So he's going to have some guys that's been there a year that probably, you know, they've grown but wasn't going to touch the field because of those names that you mentioned that, you know, were the starters. So for me, it's more about not so much the talent, but how fast can they get on the same page with Sam Darnold? One thing I know about a quarterback is, you know, playing in the NFL, I had 18 different quarterbacks.
Whew.
Every season I had a different quarterback. And the biggest difference, I know some young guys and new guys that would come in, I would have to tell them, look, when I'm covered, I'm not covered. Give me an opportunity to throw the ball. You have to have, as a quarterback, you have to have trust in that receiver that he's going to do that. Sam had that in Juju and Rodgers last season. Who's gonna be that guy when Sam drops back and he looks to the left, this guy's covered, he looks to the right? Somebody's going to have to win his confidence over, where Sam is going to have to say, no matter if I throw this ball to him, if he's covered, either this ball is going to be batted down as an incomplete from my receiver, or he's going to catch the ball. That's the biggest challenge, because I think they do, just physically, they have some pretty good talent on the outside.
Utah's got that now. They didn't have that. They had a bunch of guys too, but now they've plugged Darren Carrington into that system. Troy Williams has worked with some of these guys that weren't names yet, but now he's got a guy that he can go to. We were talking to Justin Herbert, quarterback, Oregon?
Yeah, Herbert.
He said, hey, 50-50 balls were 75-20 balls, 25 balls with Darren Carrington.
Right.
How much can Carrington, even though he's just stepping in, first day of practice, hasn't been in the program, how much can he help Utah's passing game and Troy Williams?
I mean, he's going to be huge, because number one about Darren is he has a name in this conference. So there's not going to be a game that he steps in where the defensive coordinator or those defensive players don't know who he is. So what does that do for your offense? You know, you have to slow him down. And defenses are going to game plan to make sure he's not the guy that beat you. That opens up a lot of other things for the other receivers who we hadn't seen in Utah's offense, and Troy. Because now if he understands that defenses are trying to take him out, you're going to have to put a safety over top, which means someone is going to have one-on-one, or it's going to be a bigger hole or a bigger window for him to throw to on the other side.
When you've got that deep threat at wide receiver, though? I mean, what does it do just from the standpoint of shifting defenses? I mean, how does it open things up in the running game just having a big play wide receiver?
Yeah, I mean, it's the best thing ever because a running back loves a guy that can stretch the field, because if you're going to run the ball to his side, that safety has to come down in the box. And if you got a guy that can take the top off a defense and that safety is not behind him, quarterbacks can easily check off and look at that situation. I scored a bunch of touchdowns in Chicago because we ran the football, which means that strong safety or free safety, depending on what side I was on, had to come in the box to slow down the run. Now, basically, you got man-to-man, whether it's cover one, cover three, or just flat-out man across the board. And that's an easy read for the quarterback to see, okay, you got a speed guy out here lined up on a guy one-on-one. I'm going to give him an opportunity to make a play because technically that defense is in this situation to slow down the run. Check it off, and you give that guy an opportunity to make a big play.
Team, you have the biggest question about today that may or may not be answered by the last weekend in August. Who do you have in the conference, North or South, biggest question mark?
Biggest question mark for me is UCLA. You know, when you look at offensively, they bring back everyone except probably their tackle and their tight end. I mean, they're loaded. Josh is going into his third year, but he's also going on his third offensive coordinator. And I just think if Josh can get comfortable in the offense, he's going to light it up. And for me, that's kind of the question mark for UCLA is how well will he adapt to the new offense? Is he going to pick it up? I say it all the time when I do the draft. You know, we look at the physical attributes from a quarterback. Oh, he can throw it. He looks the part. He can throw every ball. But that's not really the key to playing quarterback. Is when you line up, first of all, do you have a clear understanding of the offense? And when you line up and that defense lines up pre-snap and you look it over and then post-snap they go to something different, can you go through your progressions mentally within that 4 or 5 seconds as you had a pass rush coming and make the right decisions? Because you hear a lot of people say, oh, my God, he's great. He understands the offense. He's great on the board. Well, I remember a saying one of our linebackers said my rookie year in Chicago. He was talking to the coach, and the coach was getting on him about, you know, staying in his lane on the kickoff team. And he looked at the coach and he said, Coach, all those X's and O's, that move on Sunday. So it looks pretty on the board, but guess what? We got to play ball. And if you can't react on Saturday and Sunday, I don't care how much you can get on the board. I don't care how much you understand the offense. If you can't react within that system on game day, none of that matters.
There's so many guys that can do one or the other. They can do the chalkboard or they can do the field. So few can do both. But, I'm just thinking about USC and UCLA, how many similarities they have in dealing with this Hollywood lifestyle. But then you hear about Puff Daddy almost killing a man on campus at UCLA last year. The Mikay Juarez situation where you got a 5-star recruit who's, I don't know, afraid to come on campus or whatever the hell happened there. But, you know, it's not just Jim Mora who struggled with this at times. I mean, Rick Neuheisel, Carl Durrell, Bob Toledo, they've all dealt with similar issues. What is it about USC that they've been able to handle, I guess, the spotlight that much better for 20 years now?
I just think it comes with the territory at USC, and nothing against UCLA, but USC, and it's not because I'm an alum there and played, but, I mean, USC has always had those stars. I mean, you think about it. If you look at the history, it's always been there. So when you go there, it's an expectation. You know, we just talked to Sam Darnold about it. When you go to USC as a quarterback, whether you want to or not, you're forced into the spotlight, and you got to know how to handle yourself on and off the field. And you just don't see that same – You don't see that same kind of, I would say, culture at UCLA. I think that, and again, I don't want to sound like I'm dissing UCLA, but USC is used to it. I mean, you go back and there's always been stars. There's always been Heisman Trophy winners. So there's a culture there that's built that knows how to handle that situation just based on our history.
And Marinovich is talking about a comeback. What about you?
Trust me, I'm sitting here holding my knee right now like, man, I need to go put some ice on.
Come on, you and Todd together, you could be a package deal.
I'm going to tell you what about Todd Marinovich, and this is so true, and I stand by this. Todd Marinovich is probably one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen. Lefty, a quarterback that's a pocket quarterback with all the physical gifts that could run. And that was one of the things that you underestimated about him. He's not the guy, he's not the Deshaun Watson or, Lamar Jackson guys that's going to take off and just wow you with his running. But he was good enough to break the pocket and run, and not no goofy run from a tall quarterback. He can pick up, and then he had that dog in him too as a quarterback. And as a receiver, there's nothing better than having a quarterback that can play the game, but a look at you and kind of like what Tom Brady does, gets in your face. And, man, I'm getting chills talking about it, man. Tom Brady to me, man, I wish things off the field would have worked for him, because we would be talking about a Hall of Fame quarterback.
And Yogi Roth, you could bring him with you as like your position coach. He could coach you guys.
Hey, well, I tell you what, that's the man right there.
Or at least your hype man. That could be your hype man.
Well, no, not the hype man. This you know, Yogi knows exactly. He's been around quarterbacks a long time. He knows exactly what's going on.
Curtis, good seeing you, man.
My man.
We'll talk to you during the year.
Okay, thank you.